is alive. He's alive. Oh, what a glorious day to come and to celebrate that he is alive, that he has risen. But you know, it was quite a journey to get there. The cross. Just a week prior to Jesus being risen from the dead, he had entered into Jerusalem on a donkey. People were waving palm branches, they were throwing their cloaks in front of him, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means save, save us now. Well, we were hoping that he would save us from the Romans, from all the oppression. Little did we know that he was bringing salvation, saving us for so much more. It was interesting to look at Jesus' face that day as he came riding in, and we were just so exuberant with our praise. You would think his face would have been exuberant as well, but somehow there was a look on his face of, hard to describe it, of sorrow, of determination. He knew what was ahead. The rest of that week, there was a bit of that sense, a somberness. Jesus was determined and knew what he was doing. Thursday came and he was arrested. And then Friday, crucified on a cross. It was horrible. What an excruciating way to die. That night I went home, and all night Friday and Saturday, I couldn't eat or sleep, just weeping. How did this happen? Why did he allow this? We had seen Jesus perform so many miracles. He turned water into wine. He healed people, people that were blind, people that couldn't walk, people that had leprosy. He told the wind and the waves to be still. He calmed a storm. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. So why? How did he allow this to happen? I was devastated. You know, Jesus had done so much for me. He saw me. He saw my pain. He saw my sin, and he didn't judge or condemn, but instead he reached into my life, and he pulled out all the demons that were within me. And I experienced freedom, joy, like I had never known before. And it was so great to be able then to be with him, to be with his disciples and the other followers, and walk with him and learn so much. You know, learn about his Father, God. He unfolded scripture to us, helping us to understand and explain to us that what was so important was loving God and loving others. It was so great to be with him. And as I said, my life was changed. But now, it was like all hope had gone. So I just continued weeping. Then there was a knock late at night on my door. It was the other women. Well, they were devastated as well. And we thought, we have to do something. What can we do? So we decided we would get together the spices and we would go and we would anoint his body. We got up early, before it was dawn, and walked to the garden tomb. As we walked there, we were silent. You know, normally we'd be chit-chatting and just enjoying one another's company, but we were silent. Our hearts were broken. As we walked, I think probably most of us thought, what are we going to do with that big stone? How are we going to roll it out of the way? And what about the guards? Oh, we didn't say anything to each other. We just kept walking on this mission to get there. And when we arrived at the tomb, the stone had been rolled away. What? Had someone taken his body? This was like the last straw. So I went running and to find the disciples, and I found Peter and John. Well, they then came and they ran to the garden tomb. John got there first and he peeks in, and then Peter comes behind and he rushes right into the tomb and sees the grave clothes lying there and sees the headpiece folded up. John then went in, and then they turned and they went home. I was left there in the garden and stepped forward and stepped into the tomb. And there were two angels there, dressed in white, one at the head where his head was and one at the feet. They asked why I was weeping, and then they said, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead?" Which I didn't understand what they meant. I backed out of the tomb, and I could tell there was somebody behind me. I assumed it was the gardener. And he said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" I said, "Because they have taken my Lord, and I want to know where they have taken him." And then he said, "Mary." I knew it was the Lord. And I turned to just give him the biggest hug. And he says, "Mary, no. Don't cling on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father yet." And as we talked there in the garden, all of a sudden it became clear. I understood. Here I was walking and talking with the Messiah. And thought back 2 years ago in that first garden, where Adam and Eve walked and talked with God. But then because of sin, that relationship was broken. They were no longer in that place in the garden of being with him. A tree. And now another tree. Where Jesus had come out of love for us and brought salvation, that he then created the way for us to be able to walk and talk with God again, to restore that relationship. You know, he sees each one of us. He loves each one of us and calls us by name. Jesus told me to go and to tell the disciples that he had risen. So I did that, and I have been continuing to do that, to proclaim that he has risen, that he is alive, and that he continues to open the door and to call us to him. That he offers us forgiveness and life. That he looks at us and he sees our sin, our brokenness, our hurts, our desires, everything within us. And doesn't condemn, but offers us life. Life and forgiveness and a chance to walk and talk with him. As we go about all the things in our lives, to have a relationship with him, where there is life, hope, and peace. He is alive.